Chapter 1. It was tipping it down. It had been for weeks, but today the weather was savage. The wind heaved at the car, shoving it across the road and flinging rain like gunshot against the windows. There was water everywhere, pouring out of the air, flooding the black fields, flowing across the windscreen. It sprang in torrents from the walls and ran in rivers down the road. The Wilder family were all furious, after spending 2 weeks' holiday trapped by the rain in a farmhouse on the North Yorkshire moors. Bea in particular was outraged. Her friends had been to Italy, Spain, France, even Florida in one case. She'd been to a swamp in North Yorkshire. Her mum and dad had been bickering the whole way, while baby Michael grizzled next to her in his car seat. All any of them wanted was to get home. They weren't far off either, only 20 minutes away on the high moors when it all began. A set of light appears, bouncing across the fields in the darkness above them. Someone was driving headlong down the hill, in this weather. "Look at that," said Bee's mum. "Off-road. Bloody dangerous. He's going far too fast." "Must be a farmer on a quad," muttered her dad, clutching the steering wheel like it was a life jacket. Must have lost a sheep or something. "It'd take more than sheep to get me out of this," said her mum. And then, "Look, Jamie, there's more of them. And over there." Bee peered out. All around them, people were charging down the road, some on quads, some on foot, some on motocross bikes. More came into sight as they watched, running and slipping and skidding over the sodden black fields. Some of them were already climbing over the stone walls and pushing open the gates to the road. There were dogs, too, running fast towards them. "What on earth is going on?" demanded Bee's mum. "What is it? Some kind of hunt?" Even as she spoke, Bee's eye was caught by a movement down by the side of the car. A hare. No, two. No, three. Three hares, sodden-furred, muddy-legged, wet to their bones, loping along the road beside the car, exhausted. "Hares," she exclaimed. Her dad braked. Bee pressed the electric window and leaned out to get a better view. One of the hares, a great gaunt beast with grey on its muzzle, had only one eye. And this was when Bee's life changed, when it ceased to be just hers and her family's and became something beyond that. She regretted that moment many times, but she never forgot the shiver of excitement that ran down her spine and raised the hairs on her arms and legs. The hare turned its head sideways to look up at her. Bee looked straight into its eyes and she saw worlds upon worlds within worlds. Billions of worlds, some like this one, some impossibly different. They fitted inside one another like Russian dolls, more worlds than there are stars in the sky or atoms in your eye. Bee recoiled, shocked at the size and magnificence of the universe she lived in, and at that same moment the quads and bikes burst upon them. Engines roared, sudden headlights shone in and blinded them. But that wasn't all, because suddenly the whole hillside was lit up. There were no shadows, the light was everywhere. In the car, under the car, above the car, the bikes and quads, the people and dogs were as brightly lit from below as they were from above. It was as if the air itself shone upon them. Two of the hares, including old One-Eye, dropped under the car, but the remaining animal spooked. It jumped sideways, twisted in mid-air, caught its powerful hind legs against a roadside wall and bounded back right at Bee. It shot in through the car window as neat as a bolt going home and landed with a bruising, sodden thump right in her lap. "It's come in! It's come in!" yelled her mum, twisting about her seat in a panic. Baby Michael let out a scream and then clapped his hand over his mouth in a curiously adult gesture and stared goggled-eyed at the hare next to him. The hare scrabbled briefly and painfully against Bee's leg with its sharp claws and then crouched down into her and stilled. It was bigger than she thought a hare would be, as big as a small dog, so heavy on her bruised thighs, so muddy and cold and wet. In another moment, the heat of its bodies warmed through to her skin. It became utterly still. Nothing moved, but the heart inside it beat furiously. Bee understood at once that whatever else she did, she had to give sanctuary to this wild creature. "What's it doing? What's it doing?" yelled her mum. The hare flinched. Bee glanced sideways at Michael, who was staring spellbound. She smiled at him to reassure him, and Michael smiled back. The brilliant light shining from everywhere made everything crystal clear, Every drop of water, every hair on her arm and on the hare's back was microscopically vivid. The wind and the pelting rain blew in through the open window, but Bee didn't care. She didn't dare move. She stilled herself, just as the hare had done. She knew without looking that Michael was doing the same. She pressed her elbows and her legs together, made herself small and quiet. She was terrified and delighted in one go. Who would ever imagine such a thing? And it was happening to her. Unlike her mum, her dad was calm. He always was. He was staring over his shoulder at her. You okay, Bee? Bee glanced up. She could see every detail of him in that light, every fleck of stubble on his chin, every line of colour in his grey eyes. She gave him a little nod, and he nodded back. Calm down, Kelsey, it's just a hare. Bee's hiding it from this hunt, aren't you, Bee? Bee nodded again, gratefully. Her mum put her hand on her chest. What kind of beast does such a thing? Look at it. It must be riddled with fleas. The hare lay on Bee's lap, its outside so still, its heart inside so frantic. It was huge. Any idea that you had that hares were just big rabbits was gone. This beast could kick you to the ground if it caught you right. It could break your nose. Her mum was staring at it with her eyes bulging. Baby Michael reached out a pudgy hand and laid it gently on the hare's back. The creature flinched briefly again and wriggled deeper into Bee's lap. Michael looked up at Bee and beamed at her, his mouth open in pure delight. It's a hunt. We're saving the hare from those bastards. Okay, said their dad. There was a pause while they all took this in. You never see hares around here, said their mum. They were whispering now, and they want to hunt down and kill the ones we have. Sick, hissed Bee. And that was it. They were united. The Wilder family had their moments, at one another's throats like everyone else, but once they got an idea in their heads, they were rock solid. Nothing was going to get between them on this. Outside, the hunt was closing in. Bee's dad wound the window up and gently put the car back into gear, but before he could pull away, a Land Rover came hurtling out of the field above them. It tore into the road in a slew of mud and skidded to a halt right in front of them. The wipers smeared mud all over the glass. And Bee peered through it to see if they could squeeze past. A big man in a waterproof cape was getting out, black against the headlamps. But before he got to them, there was a commotion outside. A dog had shoved its great wide head under their car, growling and baying, and one of the hares sheltering there ran out straight into the jaws of a dog on the other side. There was a loud snap as the dog's teeth bit the air. The hare had bounded up at Bee's window just as the first had, but now the window was closed. It banged heavily against the glass and fell to the ground, but was up in an instant, a great arcing leap high into the air, right up on top of the car. They heard it landing above them with a loud bang, and then the sound of its claws scrabbling for purchase. In Bee's lap, the first hare raised its eyes, its mouth open. Above them, the hare on the roof slipped. It fell down the windscreen, its coat leaving a muddy trail behind it. It slithered briefly on the bonnet and fell to the ground. The dogs were on it in a second. The family stared in horror through the headlamp-spangled rain as the hare was flung into the air. The injured animal span before them and came down with a bang on the bonnet. It tried to leap off, but it was half-stunned and dazed by the light. It slipped and fell again to the ground, and the dogs rushed in. One of them seized it by the back legs and began to thrash it from side to side like a heavy wet rag. Through the noise of the dogs and people, the shouting, barking and yelling, they could hear the hare's voice, a thin scream of terror and pain as the dog thrashed it to and fro. Amazingly, from beneath their car, the old one-eyed hare emerged. It stood on its hind legs and started to box at the dog's face, tempting it to drop its victim and to go for it instead, but the other dogs lunged for it, and it had to run back under the car or die itself. The hare on Bee's lap stood up to look out of the window, front paws resting on the door handle. It turned its gaze on her as if she could do anything, and her heart broke with pity for the beast. She put her arms around its chest and wept. But the hare struggled to be free. Let me out, it cried. Yes, she would do anything to help. Bee pressed the window control. The wind and rain blew in again. But when she looked back, the hare was staring at her with astonishment, its jaw hanging open, and Bee gasped because she had understood it. She had understood. She saw the hare shake its head, and then it turned and leaped out of the car window. It hit the wall and fell on its side to the ground with a jarring thud, but gathered itself and bounded directly at the dog that held the other hare in its jaws. Oh, it was such a hopeless thing, that hare's attack on the dog. In the car, it had seemed surprisingly big, but next to the huge dog, full of the lust for blood, it was frail and small. The two animals' desperate attempt to save their family, Bee was certain they were a family, struck right at her heart. And in her heart, something magical opened. A door, which could never again be closed. She felt something rushing up towards her from deep in the earth. It was a force she could not resist. She leaned out of her window, opened her mouth, and a voice sprang into her throat. "I summon you, you crowned runners," she cried. "I summon you from sleep. I summon and command." This was not a voice that came from inside her. It came from deep, deep down. So deep, it felt to her as if the earth beneath her had spoken those words. Not her at all. "Bee!" exclaimed her mum. "You never heard such a noise from such a small throat." Her father looked at her strangely. "Was that words?" he said. And Bee understood at once that no one there had any idea what she'd said. Then everything changed. The light, the night, the rain. Shadows appeared all around them. Bee peered through the rain, trying to make them out. So big. They were deer? Yes, deer, but not the small roe deer you saw around here from time to time. Big ones. Red deer. Stags with huge antlers above their heads like crowns. They came pouring over the fence and out of the gates. One of them lowered its head and gored a dog, tossing it high into the air. The dog yelped, twisting as it hit the ground, and crawled off on its belly to hide under the Land Rover in front of them. People were shouting and yelling, slithering, falling in the mud as the deer barged into them, legs kicking out, great heads down among them, harrying them, chasing them away. It lasted just a few moments, and then it was done. The deer, gone. The hares, gone. The supernatural light that had surrounded them, gone. The huntsmen and women floundered on their backs in the mud in the headlamps. A herd of huge deer. What a chance! Everything had been saved.